Wanted to point out in your bulletins the schedule for Holy Week, because we have some extra worship services leading up to Easter Sunday, which is next Sunday. Thursday and Friday, we have worship services at 7 in the evening, Monday, Thursday, and then a tenebrae service for Good Friday. On Easter Sunday, next Sunday, we'll have worship at 6:30 in the morning. We never have quite a crowd quite this big for these services that we have every year, but I guarantee you it's worth it. As long as the weather's nice, we put chairs out in the parking lot and worship outside, and we face so that right as the worship service ends, we see the sun come over the peak of the roof on the building. It's a sunrise service for Easter, and then we have a breakfast after that. If you think you'd like to come to that breakfast, you can contact the church office just so we have a rough count, so we have the right amount of food for that meal. Dean, I think an email is going to go out about that breakfast as well, so there'll be an email. But some of you might not be on the email list, so just contact the church office and let us know that you want to come to that breakfast. And then we have our service at the normal time at 11 o'clock, but it's a special time of year, Holy Week, leading up to Easter, and how wonderful to have baptisms today on Palm Sunday. Well, let's look at this passage from Luke, one of the traditional readings for Palm Sunday. Let me pray for us as we get into the time of the message. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open our minds, our hearts, as we hear your word, and I pray you bless the comments that I offer on your word, and that you would speak to us in this time, and that we would hear. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. The journey began in Luke chapter 9. This is the way the Gospel of Luke presents it, and Luke 9:51 is a very definitive turning point in the Gospel, because it says there that Jesus set his face to go up to Jerusalem. And it ends here in 19. Jesus and his disciples arrive just east of the city in the villages that are to the east, Bethpage and Bethany. He sends two of his disciples ahead into Jerusalem to make preparations for his entry. Then Jesus allows those disciples to instigate a series of actions that have come to define our Palm Sunday worship traditions. Now, Luke makes it clear that there was around Jesus a community of disciples. In chapter 10, he endowed 70 of his followers with the power to heal diseases, cast out demons, and proclaim that in Jesus the kingdom of God has come near. So there's the 12 disciples, but then there's a group that's much larger than that. And we can suppose that by chapter 19, that group of 70 has continued to grow. If we keep reading ahead in Luke's writings, Luke is the author of Acts. That's the sequel to the Gospel of Luke. And at the beginning of Acts, there are 120 that are in the now resurrection community following Jesus. Well, in Luke 19:30, Jesus gives instructions, and his followers carry them out. And when they go beyond the simple instructions he gives, he goes along with their enthusiasm and initiative. They retrieve the colt, as he told them to. Then they put their cloaks on the colt, okay? Then they lift him and put him on the colt to ride into the city, because the disciples want the city to know this is the arrival of a king. He did not tell them to do all these things step by step, but Jesus willingly receives all that they offer. He doesn't say outright, "I am God, I am your Messiah and Savior." He doesn't claim those things explicitly at this juncture, but when his disciples make those proclamations about him, he accepts that. He never tells them to act in a certain way regarding him, but neither does he deny their adoration. They surely do not know what it all means, but they know Jesus is special, and that's enough for the moment. More than the other gospel writers, Luke makes it clear that this crowd lining the street, lining the road into Jerusalem, is a crowd of true followers of Jesus. They don't know everything about him, but based on what they know, Luke presents them as disciples. Their devotion to Jesus is imperfect and incomplete, but Jesus joyfully receives the worship that they offer. The Pharisees are the ones to provoke a confrontation. These gatekeepers of the law, who dedicate themselves to their own understanding of the law, demand that Jesus silence those of his followers who loudly praise him. He responds by definitively affirming how appropriate it is that his followers treat him as one coming from God. "I tell you," he says, "if these were silent, the stones would cry out in praise." When we read this story from our perspective so many years later after the resurrection, we see how inappropriate it is when someone says of Jesus, "Well, he was a good moral teacher. He was a wise rabbi." Sure, he was those things, but more than those things, Jesus was God in the flesh. Worship is the right stance when we come into his presence. Jesus cherished his relationships with his followers, the relationship he had with them at this point, before he was crucified and resurrected. He knew full well what was coming. The suffering, the abandonment, the death. He knew that some of these who professed faith, these who were shouting so loudly, would go into hiding when the pressure from the authorities mounted. These who enthusiastically cheered him on would run away when he really needed their support. Even so, even knowing that, in this moment, he loved his followers and he received the love they gave because it was the best they had to give. In worship today, we have had three become church members, a man over 50 and two girls under 10. To be a member of the church is to say that you want to be part of the body of Christ. You're announcing to the church family that Jesus is your Lord and you've given your life to him. You want to worship him and serve him as a part of this church body, this family. And you're committing your life to him and committing to serving him within this church. Greg was not baptized today because he was baptized many years ago. He's joining our church today, but he's been a Christian for a long time. He was baptized before the girls were born. God has led him to commit his membership to our church family. Tara Beth and Mary Grace, in their baptism today, declare their faith in Jesus. Their baptism is their testimony that Jesus is Lord and they belong to him. In becoming members and being baptized, they are telling all of us that they want to live as Christians. Can a child so young make a commitment like the one Mary Grace and Tara Beth made today? Over the course of many years of being a pastor, I've had this conversation come up with other pastors, with denominational leaders, with leaders in the church. There's a lot of opinions. Committing one's life to Jesus is a serious thing. Is it too serious for such a young child? Can one so young understand what's happening? Well, obviously, we think they can. We baptize these kids today because we believe their faith in Jesus is real and sincere. And I trust their parents, and I know their parents. I know they'll continue to be raised in the faith. I trust our Sunday school leaders, and both of these girls are active in Sunday school and worship lab. I believe they have had a real encounter with Jesus, and their faith is genuine. Is it a child's faith? Yes. In their lives, will these girls go through periods of doubt? Maybe. It can't be predicted. Hopefully, they'll continue to grow in faith and also in life, and that growth includes progress in education. Education opens a world of ideas and possibilities, and a lot of those ideas and possibilities lead us to ask questions. Hard questions. Asking hard questions is good, but sometimes we face struggles and we face doubt. We grow when we deal with these hard questions and struggles and when we deal with doubt. When we meet God and grow in the relationship with God, we're dynamic. We're not static. We don't stay the same all the time. We have life experiences. These include great joy and deep pain. We react to the world around us, and it can be trivial things or serious things. Our team wins the championship. The team we hate wins the championship. There's a terrorist attack that grips the attention of the nation. There's a series of attacks. Or it can be more individualized to a family. We get married. We move to a new place. These and a thousand other experiences shape how we see the world. It colors our faith. Now, Jesus is Lord in all these experiences. Jesus is Lord in all the seasons of life. But because the seasons of life change and we change as we go through them, we see things differently. We see Him differently. Sometimes we get to places and situations in life that make it difficult to see God at all. He's there. He's Lord there. He loves us there, but we can't see Him. So yes, I think it's wonderful that a 7-year-old and an 8-year-old were baptized today. I think all of heaven rejoices at their expression of faith. The Bible says this. And yes, I think they might have periods of backsliding, periods in life where they have trouble relating to God. The same, by the way, might happen with Greg at his season in life. It happens to me. I don't predict difficulty for Tara Beth and Mary Grace because they're young. I predict difficulty because we all face difficulty in walking with Christ. If any of us have seasons of doubt, it does not negate the faith we profess at baptism. God adores our childlike faith. He loves us where we are and helps us grow to become more like Christ, loving, grace-filled, courageous, and compassionate. Jesus rode into Jerusalem to the sounds of cheering and praises coming from that group of 70 to 80 true disciples. But then we keep going through Luke, and we get to chapter 22. Jesus is praying in the Mount of Olives. Sunday's passed. Now it's Friday. And he doesn't have 70 people around him. He has 12. The authorities come with their torches and their clubs and their swords. One disciple strikes out with a sword to defend Jesus, but it's a half-hearted defense that amounts to nothing. Jesus is arrested, roughed up, questioned, flogged. The disciples scatter. They're not to be found. That big crowd that was crawling out, "Blessed is the one, the King who comes in the name of the Lord," they're silent and absent. Only Peter remains, and that's at a distance. 3 times he's given a chance to stand in solidarity with Jesus as Jesus suffers. 3 times he takes that chance and denies knowing Jesus. The childlike Palm Sunday enthusiasm has evaporated into abandonment and denial. And yet we keep going through Luke from Palm Sunday to the Friday to chapter 24. The same disciples that praised Jesus on that Sunday and left him on that Friday to die in shame, alone and broken, are gathered with him. The resurrected Christ welcomes them back with love. He knew they would fail him, and yet he absolutely accepted their Palm Sunday worship, premature and uninformed as it was. Now raised, he raises them to a new level of faith, Easter faith, that faith that cannot die. When you see second and third graders baptized, don't worry that their faith might be too childlike. Celebrate, because angels in heaven are celebrating the new birth of Tara Beth and Mary Grace today. Rejoice and be grateful. God meets you in your childlike faith, which is as fragile as theirs is, maybe more so. Let the baptism of these girls inspire all of us to open our hearts to that deep desire to offer ourselves fully to God in worship. Be inspired to give your very self to God, committing your life to Christ. We offer our Palm Sunday faith to God, knowing if we had been among the disciples along the road into Jerusalem, shouting Hosanna, we would have failed Jesus just as they did. When he was arrested, tried, and crucified, we would have run away too. We worship offering all the faith we have because that's what we have to offer, however much it is. And we worship in gratitude because we know on the cross, Jesus accomplished forgiveness for our sins in the resurrection. He defeated death. He loves us, and when we come to Him in faith, we have life. We are new creations, forgiven and bound for the kingdom of God. Amen. Would you stand as we prepare to sing and respond to the grace of God? If anyone would like to come for prayer, we'll have folks at the front and the back. If God's working in your life, we'd love to pray with you and welcome you during this time. Let's worship the Lord together.